I'd like to invite, I think it's Laura coming up first, I think. Yeah, Laura's the brave soul that's coming up, who we already know from her time as a student. Am I right in saying
that's
that?
That's right, yes.
Which was yesterday.
Well, I was counting up, it's 17 years ago since I moved to Dundee as a fresher. So I've been here for 4 years.
But anyway, I'll let you speak about your work, Laura.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. It's so lovely to be with you. Thank you for your welcome and for having us here this morning. As Tom was saying, I was in Dundee for 4 years as a student, now 17 years ago, and have very fond memories of my time here at the steeple. It's really a place where I feel like I grew a lot spiritually at a very important time of my life. So thank you, and thank you for having us back here. For those of you who don't know us, I'm Laura, my husband Adam is with me, he's going to be sharing a bit later on in the service, and our two girls, Beth and Sophie, are with us as well. Beth just turned 10 and Sophie is 7. And we've been living in Uganda for almost 4 years now, serving with EMI, Engineering Ministries International. So I'm just going to introduce a little bit about who we are, what we do, and as I say, Adam will share a little bit more in depth a bit later on in the service. So we live in Kampala. You might not see, there is a red dot somewhere there on the shores of Lake Victoria, right in East Africa there. And there's a slightly misplaced red dot up in the UK. It should be a little further north for Dundee. But yeah, that's where we live. Yeah, a little bit about the work we're doing there. Engineering Ministries International is basically a collection of engineers, architects, construction managers, quantity surveyors, basically design and construction professionals. And we exist to serve other ministries to help them do the work they're doing, whether it's in a hospital or a school or whatever they're doing, we try to support that by helping them design and build facilities that will suit their needs. So we have a big emphasis on design, but also on discipleship, of helping the younger professionals in our organization to grow spiritually as well as professionally, and also with a real emphasis on diversity. So we're not coming from America and from the UK and just jumping into a country and saying, do things this way, but we're working with our brothers and sisters in different countries around the world. And really our vision, I'm not gonna talk through all of this, our vision is to see people restored by God and the world restored through design. So using design to meet people's physical needs, but really as an ultimate goal of helping people's spiritual needs, to see them restored by our Father. So we're based all around the world. We like to put this map up just to see everyone's heads kind of tilting as they try to orientate themselves. But these are our different offices around the world. We also have a new office in Mexico, and we're looking to start another one in the Middle East. Our UK office is really primarily a sending office, mobilizing professionals from the UK. And then we're obviously based in our Uganda office. This is our team. So this is what Adam spends his time doing mostly, is working with these lovely people in our Uganda office. And he'll talk more about that later. And this is where our girls spend most of the time, at their school, excuse me, Acacia International School, which is a Christian international school set up primarily to serve the missionary community in Uganda, but also with a lot of local kids there too. So they are thriving there and growing in knowledge and in their love for Jesus. And then this is these are the two people I have been working with primarily. They are our interns from the UK. So although we're based in Uganda, I work with our UK office a lot. And I help young professionals who maybe just want to serve for 3-4 months in one of our offices. I help to get them from the UK to whichever global office they're going to. And then we also have a lot of fun with our interns in Uganda. This is our collection of interns from just before Christmas. They come on a termly basis, just short term. So they were around for pizza, and we do some training with them about culture, about faith, about how their faith can outwork through design and all these different things. Yeah, so that's just a wee snapshot of my role in EMI and what we do as a family. We're also, you know, involved in church, in school, in just little ways in the country. But I'm going to stop there, and a little bit later, Adam will talk you through maybe a bit more of what EMI does in Uganda and some of the projects that he's been working on. But yeah, I'll hand back over to Tom. Thank you.
Our readings this morning are taken from Psalm 96, verses 1 to 6, and from Matthew 28, 16 to 20. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. From Matthew 28. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.
We join again together in singing all over the world. Now we've heard from Laura, we get a chance to hear from Adam now. So thanks, Adam. You like to come up now.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, well, good morning, everybody. It's really lovely to be here with you today. As Laura said, it was it's been a while since she has been in Dundee, but it's just so lovely coming back, sharing fellowship with you today and worshiping with you. One of the things that that I love as part of the work that we do with EMI is these times in the UK where we can go around, tell people what God is doing in Uganda, and just share some of the amazing things that are happening there. So I'll just check. Okay, I think I might talk about that in a second, but it was just to say my background originally is structural engineering. I studied engineering at university, worked in the UK for a bit, and then we felt this calling from God to move overseas to work with EMI, this organization that has this real focus on doing what we do, using the skills that we have, doing it all because we love Jesus, because we want to share that with people. And that's not to say that you can't love Jesus and work in the UK. God calls all of us to different things, and he called us to Uganda. So we have been there for almost 4 years now, working on a variety of different projects. So we would work with, as Laura said, with schools maybe, or hospitals, clinics, other Christian organizations that are working in Uganda, but also in the East Africa region. As our office, we cover sort of all of East Africa. So I could probably, if we were given, 2 or 3 hours, I could spend the whole time talking about everything that we do. But I'm sure people have got roasts in the oven and all that kind of stuff. So I thought I can maybe share one story of maybe a project that I've been working on recently. So I want to talk about Hope Africa University. This is a university in Burundi, which is a country just one over from Uganda, just beyond Rwanda. Burundi, in a sort of, if you want to look at measures of countries across the world, for GDP per capita, Burundi is actually the poorest country in the entire world. There is quite a lot of need in Burundi. And Hope Africa University have been there since 2003. They are a Christian university that is established to train, to give affordable higher education to Burundians, and a lot of people from East Congo as well would come across, with the view that these are the people that will transform Burundian society as they are educated and as they move out into society, that they can bring real transformation. And at the same time, that they can do that with a love for Jesus. That's one of the big focuses of Hope Africa. They train almost half of the doctors in the country, and they're an amazing university. They are so good that they're running out of space. So they're right in the middle of Bujumbura, the main city in Burundi, and the campus is just really getting quite crammed. So they asked for EMI to come and help them with a master plan. So I went with a team in February. It was a team of people mostly coming from the US. I was the only one from East Africa that was joining them. And we linked up with some local Burundian professionals there as well, and people who work with the university. And broadly speaking, what we were trying to do was to assess what they had currently, and to then start to plan out how they could expand. Because at the end of the day, if you have a need for a building, maybe say a latrine block or something like that, and then you go ahead and here's a space, let's build it. And then suddenly you need a new set of classrooms, and actually it turned out this would have been the perfect place to build it, but we've already got a latrine here now. So with a lot of the architects on the team, we can really sit down and work with the university to say, okay, what are your needs and how can we best help you? So I say the university has been going since 2003. They've got quite a number of buildings on the campus. So like this one particularly, this is one of their dormitories. These big three-story buildings, which have been built by money that have come from donors in the US. So I wanted to talk about Gaspard. So Gaspard is the technical director of the university. He's in charge of their building and their construction and stuff there. And I love this picture of him, because this tells you a lot about what kind of man Gaspard is. Like, he is the big man. He's the man that he walks into the room and he just takes charge. And he was great. He was amazing, really, really skilled at what he did. And we were there for about 2 weeks, and after about the first week, we found it was getting really quite hard to work with him. He was being a bit obstructive. He was, you know, just kind of making things a little difficult for us, and we were trying to figure out what was wrong with this. And what ended up happening was our team leader had a conversation with Gaspard, and he said to him, like, why are you making this so difficult? We're here trying to help you work out what your needs are. And he said, and what we're going to do is we're going to then, once we've told you, you know, roughly speaking, put this size of building here, we want you to bring that to a local firm in Bujumbura. And we want them to do the design of it. And he sort of, it took, you know, you could see the penny drop in his eyes, and he sort of said, like, oh, so they can design it, like, in Burundi? It's like, yes, so they can do, okay, so we can build it like we build in Burundi? Yes, that's what we want you to do. You can build buildings, of course, we know that. And he looked at this guy and he said, you are the first one from outside who says that we can do that here. You are the first person who says that we can do this in Burundi. Because Gaspard had been with Hope Africa since 2003, and all of these other buildings had come fully finished from the US and handed to him, and you go and do this. And nobody had sort of trusted him enough to say, it's okay, you know how to do this, we're not going to tell you how to do it, we'll just provide the bit of help where you need things. And that was quite a hard story to hear, that this guy had basically been talked down to for almost 20 years of his work there. But it's one of the reasons why I love working with EMI, because we try as much as we can if people can do things, there's no point us doing it for them. It's more about just saying, you've got this, it's okay. So that's one of the ways. Laura had talked about our vision, which is about seeing people restored by God and the world restored through design. I think as a structural engineer, I get really, you know, it's the second bit that I'm like, yes, seeing the world restored, because you see a new building go up and you can see that, you know, things are getting better. But actually, God is in this business of restoration, of this this broken world that we see. And it's through restoring people that he is doing that. As an engineer, I can get very focused on the nuts and bolts, quite literally, of things. But it is the people that God is working through. And that sort of comes out in this Great Commission that we were hearing read just there, about going and making disciples of all nations. And I've just got sort of the last two verses up here. And one of the things that I really, I suppose, always kind of, you know, assumed about this Great Commission is that I've sort of, maybe it's obvious, maybe it's not, but I've tried to sort of highlight the sort of the verbs within this, the things that we should do. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I think it's one of these things in how it is translated in the English. I think what we sort of naturally do, and I'll see if this, okay, it's not highlighting quite so well. I think what we mainly do is we sort of put all the emphasis on this go, because that's how it reads well in the English. You know, that is the imperative. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And that's why, certainly with us as missionaries, people who have kind of gone overseas, a lot of the time people sort of, when they're talking to us about things like the Great Commission, it's a good one to have at a mission service or something, because it's all about going, it's all about, you know, not staying here, we need to go. And whilst I think that that is what God calls some of us to, I don't think he's calling each and every person here to move to East Africa tomorrow. Just to reassure you, I don't think that's what he's calling us to do. But actually, I didn't study Greek. I have heard this off somebody who knows Greek much better than I do. When we talk about how these verbs are within this statement, the Greek actually has one imperative in this, something that we have to do, something that we should be doing that has a real action to it. It's not actually go, it's this one about make disciples. That the go that we say in English, where we say therefore go, is actually more like, well, as you're going. You know, it's quite a passive participle, so as you're going, it is make disciples. This is the thing that Jesus is calling us to do. This is the big headline that comes out of this, is making disciples. So as you're going, you should make disciples, and as you're baptizing them and as you're teaching them, these are also passive participles. But this is something that each and every one of us can do. This is something that as we are going about our lives and as God brings us to different places, whether it is another continent, whether it is across the road, or whether it is just to the person beside us in the bus or something like that, that it is making disciples. It's not just telling people the good news, but it's walking with them on their journey. And that's something that we as EMI put a real emphasis on, is discipleship. We say that's one of our core values, that we want to disciple people. We want to do this imperative that Jesus gives us in this Great Commission. And you know, we're doing all of these other things. We're baptizing people, we're teaching them. And that is something that Laura put this slide up earlier, but this is the folks that I work with, of a whole range of different skills and backgrounds and heart languages and just a real mix of people. But the one thing that we have in common is that we love Jesus, and we want to use what we have in our love for Jesus and in service of him. So just as we come towards the end of this, I wanted to finish with a bit of a testimony of some of the work that we've done. This is from an organization that we have done some design work for. They're called the GEM Foundation in Uganda. And they look after kids with severe physical and psychological needs, so with very severe disabilities. This was a few years ago, they had about 42, 43 kids in a two-story house in the center of the city, which was too small. It had stairs everywhere. It was not a good place to look after kids with a lot of special needs. So they were able to acquire some land outside of the city in the country, and they asked EMI to come along and to design a campus for them, a place for the kids to be, for the kids to play, and to really just enjoy life, enjoy being kids, somewhere that they could get the care that they needed for their particular needs. So this is a video that the GEM Foundation produced on their moving in day. So this is one that they sent to their supporters. EMI is not mentioned in this at all, but at the same time, EMI is all over this. And one of the things that I love is that we get to come along other organizations and help them with what they need. They don't want to be worrying about design and construction. They want to do what God has called them to and look after these kids. So we can take that off their hands. We can work on the construction and let them do what they do. And then hopefully as we finish the construction, it means that they can do what they do even more, and even more effectively. So you'll see at the start of this video, it's showing the house that they were originally in. And then this was made on the moving in day as they brought the kids to the new accommodation. So hopefully this will work with the video.
It all began here in the GEM Foundation. Bittersweet to be leaving here and knowing that this chapter has closed with being in this home, but it's so exciting as well as we look to the future and what God has for the GEM Foundation and what God has for our kids. It's the long-awaited and long-hoped-for moment. Just exciting. You can hold your weight. The GEM Village is an answer to prayer.
And it's amazing, because we've been dreaming about it for so long.
friend in the other house. They can wheel down the sidewalk through the village and just have that accessibility that they longed for and that freedom of just being a kid and just getting to grow up and thrive in that village. We're so excited about the future. At the Gem Foundation, we envision a world where no special needs is left behind, where every child with special needs is accepted and loved for who they are, uniquely made and chosen by God. So this is just the next step in the Gem Foundation and the next step for the future of creating a world where there's accessibility for our kids and they're loved and accepted for who they are. So we just want to thank you for being a huge part of this moment and for making this a reality. We couldn't have done it without you.
So I love things like that, of seeing the impact that we can have. I get to do engineering, but I get to work with all of these different organizations in so many varied parts of Uganda and across East Africa. And the reason that we are in Uganda in the first place is because of the prayers and the support of people in the UK who we don't feel alone over there. We don't feel like we're, we feel like we are going with the prayers of faithful people here. So we, just wanted to say a thank you to all of the folks here who have been praying and just helping us along this journey. So, thank you so much for having us here today, and more than happy when we're chatting afterwards, just come if you've got more questions, we'd love to share with you, but thank you, Tom, for having us.
Laura, do you want to come up and join us as well? Because in true Steeple Church tradition, we like to pray for people that come and visit us. Like yourselves, who do amazing work in other countries and sharing with us that work, it's a joy to have you. So I've invited Rosalind to come and join us, and I don't know if there's any of the other elders or anyone else want to come up and just be beside you while we pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would surround Adam and Laura in your love and give them the strengths and the courage and the boldness to go out in your name to Uganda to share their skills that you have given them. And we just thank you that you work in many different ways through people. And we just thank you for Adam and Laura, as they do this. And we just thank you for their children as well that have joined us today. And we just pray for them as well, that they as a family might rejoice and share your love together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's just sing our praise now again as we sing One More Step Along the World.